free of fraud is the right of the consumer. My testimony is in support of this licensing bill, 2298. This bill will bring about a mature, responsible industry, responsibility for safety, responsibility for consumer satisfaction. This bill gives us the tools to self-govern, to bring about this envisioned mature industry. This bill addresses four of my concerns. The first is the health of the employee in the workplace, where so often there is absolutely no monitoring for safety in these workplaces by government agencies. The help who work in these unsafe shops can't quit. They have families to feed and bills to pay, and no one to turn to. They have spray, they spray without spray booths, polluting the air with lead and isocyanates with potential poisoning, and loading the atmosphere with organic solvents. Ventilation in prep areas is non-existent, with silicon dust, heavy metals, lead, and so forth. They have air pressure systems put together with PVC pipe, pressure tanks not checked or licensed by the state, unsafe wiring, fire marshals don't inspect, they don't know where they're at. Lack of OSHA basic requirements. Secondly, the damage to the environment. They puke out unprocessed contaminated painting air, air containing lead, chromium, and other heavy metals, and volatile or VOCs, volatile organic compounds. There is illegal dumping and burning of auto body and paint garbage. This garbage contains, again, heavy metals, paints, particulates going into the air, and the paint and contaminants soaking into the soil. There is legal dumping of DEQ-determined hazardous contaminants into the soil, such as antifreeze, battery acid, waste thinners. There is no management of batteries, freon, antifreeze, and waste solvents, and lack of enforcement of DEQ and EPA requirements. Thirdly, there is unsafe collision repairs because of lack of proper repair equipment, such as frame straighteners, gauges, and welders. And there is lack of knowledge about front ends, frames, and HS steel. There is lack of training and skill, which results in unsafe structural repairs. They turn off these cars and then hurtle them down the highway at my family and yours. Fourth, there is consumer fraud. The public being defrauded by unsafe repairs, incomplete work, or no repairs at all. This results in diminished value. I have presented photographs of only one shop, of which I know there are many. This shop works out of a barn in Washington, rural Washington County. This young fellow, he gets accident reports from the motor vehicle. He calls the people at home and promises them free rental cars, cover all their deductible, and with proper repairs, new parts, and so forth. After he has them convinced that he will do these things, why, the car disappears. They're gone for 6 months. There are times when the owners have had to call the police to get the cars back. There's one young lady who never got her car back. It was finally repossessed, unrepaired. The guy had spent all the money. We have a list of 9 different individuals who have been defrauded by this one particular operating shop. This bill will protect the consumer, workers, and the environment. It's a good bill and good for the industry. It deserves a chance to become a reality. Please give it your most serious attention. Thank you. I'd be happy to answer any questions at this time.
Any questions?
Madam Chair.
Representative Waldo.
I'm disturbed by your comments about the lack of enforcement. As you were talking about some of the areas you felt this bill would address, I felt that I was just checking out some of the agencies involved. It looks like unsafe work conditions, you'd trigger OSHA, mm-hmm. or OSHA. Mm-hmm. Workers' comp would obviously be interested. The boilermakers, the fire codes, the EQ, EPA. Those laws are on the books now and carry some stiff penalties. When you run into instances like this within your industry, are you informing these agencies or the employees there having an opportunity?
Well, I can speak from personal experience with OSHA to start with. There are some 800 shops in the state of Oregon. OSHA has 20 inspections. Four of them was our location. We're very vocal. They haven't got to the rest of them. The other 780.
So you say that,
Madam Chair.
So you say OSHA has only inspected how many shots?
20.
This year or?
From the last time that we required, asked them for an update on how many shops they had inspected. Yes.
If I may ask a little different question, can you tell us how many accidents have resulted from the auto body craft side inferior product?
This is a very guarded secret. When these accidents happen, the cars are spirited away. You never see them. It is so rapidly covered up. There have been cars that have come into our location for a check because the guy says, hey, I can't keep this thing on the road anymore. What is wrong with it? And looking through the history of this car, we found that we had at one time written an estimate on this car, and we had figured to jig the car on a jig bench. The insurance industry determined that the car didn't need this, so it was told from our shop to a shop that would repair it without any frame equipment. The second time it was damaged again, the same thing happened, although it didn't come into our place. It went to another shop. Finally, the guy was at a wit's end, so he finally came back to us, and that's when we got involved. Indeed, we contacted the two previous insurers for the accidents, and they this time agreed to put the car on the frame bench. And some of these points were off 2 inches, and this car was an accident waiting to happen. We don't know how many, but there have been cases where the car had been lifted up on frame machines or car lifts. The car has fallen in two. I wasn't personally there, but the Auto Body Craftsman Association has documentation, as I understand, to that effect.
May I ask one more question? Can you describe for me what kind of training you would require as part of licensure, and is that the ongoing as cars are updated and modified? And
well,
how much? Where would that take place?
What we have going on in the industry is that, as I say, the technology on manufacturing is moving along so rapidly. It's been mandated by Congress for high milers, and high milers create light construction, and this construction has to be proper, or it is serious damage could result from one of these cars being improperly repaired, and of course it has. What I would recommend, obviously, is proper training from community college level as a starter. There are ICAR classes which continually update the industry as to preferred repair methods. And then...
Mace, you may want to explain the term ICAR.
ICAR.
What's the abbreviation for? Inter-industry.
Inter-industry conference on collision repair.
There you got it. Inter-industry.
We knew that, but just for the record.
Yeah. And then I think there is a need for almost like an on-the-job apprenticeship program. Well, we don't have that now. These young fellows who come out of the community college, they go right out into the business environment, hang out their shingle, and they're in business. And they have no concept of what creates safe repairs. Not all of them, some of them.
Could I add to that?
Certainly. Okay.
Madam Chair, Representative Walden, ICAR, the Inter-Industry Conference on Collision Repairs, is the insurance industry, the collision repair industry, and the automobile manufacturers are involved in this ongoing training. And I think I'm close to saying ICAR is 10 years old, and it's now the nationwide standard for collision repair training. And we do that through our body shops, and we hold classes in the evenings, on weekends, and sometimes through the community colleges. But we have our own instructors that are trained from the National ICAR office in Chicago.
Madam Chair. Representative Walden. Yes.
But that's not mandatory training?
No.
Madam Chair.
Representative Barnes?
Would you care to comment on the impact of economic development? I guess what I'm referring to is you take a young fellow that's just out of school, doesn't have a heck of a lot of training, but he's honest, ethical, works well with his hands. Have you given some thought about the startup cost in terms of entrepreneurs who want to get into this business?
Representative Barnes, we have written that down, and it does not, to start a body shop today to comply with the DEQ, to have the proper equipment, the air quality that we're going to be that's going to be demanded from us soon, we're looking at an investment, a major investment, to start a collision repair shop.
About how many dollars, Madam Chair? How many dollars would you care to put on?
Well,
I have no idea what this equipment costs.
Representative Barnes, it would be determined upon what degree of in-house repairs you are going to perform. Obviously, there are subcontractors available that can do any part of what you want to sublet that you yourself are not tooled up to perform, whether it's frame straightening or complete painting. There are shops that will do that. A young person could start up and take in work that he's qualified to do. He could hang doors or replace fenders, do some light straightening in the rear and so forth. If you were to run into frame damage, that could go out to another independent auto body shop or a frame shop that specializes in that, and that would come back ready for him to complete. The suspension work could be handled by a front end shop. That is all they do is put together front ends and do suspension alignment and so forth. And of course, painting could go out to, once the car is prepped out, ready to paint, that would be filled and blocked and sanded and all these kind of things that make it ready for the final coat to be put on, the color to be put on. That could go out into and be sublet out. So his investment, it would be totally determinant onto what he wanted to internally do. And so an actual dollar value, there again, it comes into what rent district he's going to be in, how much insurance he's going to carry, who's going to dispose of his hazardous waste, and these kind of things.
Madam Chair, one final question. As an association, do you intend to provide in-house training, continuing education? I'm a realtor.
Mm-hmm.
They provide a lot of in-house training to meet the state licensing requirements, renewal requirements. Do you look towards your association as doing this in the future?
Well, as I said, that we are not a member of the Auto Body Craftsman Association. We're an independent. And so I like to speak for those non-aligned shops. There are continually ongoing classes for updating of information and collision repair. Not only comes from ICAR, but it also comes from the manufacturer that is mailed out, that's free, comes from the manufacturer. So you can always be updated. There are seminars that go around and are put on for updating of information. And of course, there are classes that you can attend.
Madam Chair, would you,
Representative Barnes,
association, care to comment on it?
Okay, thank you. Representative Barnes, we, as an association, will promote the ICAR training because that has created some national standards, and they've done a lot of work and have a good program together, and there is the ICAR certification that we get when the people participate in those classes. So ICAR is what we had intended to use when we wrote this bill.
Thank you.
Any further questions from the committee?
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mike King?
I think it's been covered fairly well, and I have no further comments.
Thank you, Mike. Steve White?
Hi, I'm Steve White. I teach at Portland Community College in the auto body department, and there's four of us there, and I think we have about the biggest department for that training in the state of Oregon. I support Measure 2298, as do the other members of my department. What we do is we provide a broad-based educational program that covers safe, tested techniques and repair. And we also include the right to know information for safety and health for the employees. Hopefully, when our people leave, they go to work for some of these folks under a very unofficial apprenticeship program. It's true some of them do leave and open the garage door and hang a sign, but for the most part, we encourage them not to do that. What we would like to see them do is go to work with one of the journeymen in a supervised situation and continue their education on through a lot of the things that were mentioned before I got up here about ongoing training programs, and they are everywhere and very available. There are several facilities in the Portland area that I know that continue their training programs, and you see the same faces at all the meetings that you go to. However, there's about 300 shops in the Portland area, and it's unlikely that more than a small percentage are really continually trained and upgraded. There's so many things that are changing that it's even hard for us to keep up with, and we probably have a better shot at most of the information than a lot of people in the business do, whether it's plastics, which is a big thing now. Aluminum is starting to come back in. Ceramics, I don't even know about that yet. However, as soon as it comes up, we'll get the training. Airbags and electronic components.
Ceramics?
Yeah, they're starting to include that in a lot of parts of the car. Even there's new things coming like plastic springs for cars. There's a lot of things that are happening, but ceramics is the word that we keep hearing is going to be one of the changes. And as soon as we get the information, we can cover that within our curriculum and make it available to the new technicians that are going into the field. It's unlikely that a person that just decides to do this particular type of work for a living could go out and walk in the door and start becoming an auto body repair technician. There's just too much information. So I think that the likelihood of those people doing well and having the proper background becomes less and less as the technology increases. In our shop alone, and we do customer repairs, we see enough improperly repaired cars that the people generally aren't aware of that we can really depend on them term by term as a training aid. There's one in there right now that's been cut in half, and the owner didn't know that. We looked underneath, and some horrible welds were done. Not anywhere near enough pulls were done to get the rear suspension in the right place before the outer panels were put on. The front frame rails were damaged and pulled about halfway back. And our students see the difference. You know, I said, go take a look at the Pontiac today and see what you can find. And they came back with a list that would shock most people. Apparently, it wasn't noticeable to the guy that did it, or it didn't matter enough to continue the repair. So, anyway, I think that the licensing bill is a great idea. I work with the airframe and power program right next to us, and a lot less people are killed in airplanes every year than there are in cars, and those people are licensed to death and monitored in everything that they do. So I see no reason why we shouldn't also be licensed and monitored. Any questions?
Questions for Steve? Representative Walden.
Do you think that they should also go through some sort of post-repair inspection then, certification? Because the licensure itself would just amount to training. It's like the example that was given us about electrical contractors being licensed. They still have to meet code and have some inspection. Is that something you're advocating as well?
Well, it's not an unreasonable thing. I think you have to define the type of damage. And if the insurance companies and the estimators and everybody are included in this, If one's had some suspension that's been moved considerably or is in need of some pretty large structural repairs, then I think that that's not an unreasonable thing to assume. I don't know how that would be covered. Maybe a reinspection by the insurance company is enough. I don't know. If those people are trained well enough to do it, then I don't know.
Further questions? Representative Nato.
Yeah, this strikes me as a good idea. I guess my only question is if you would see any sort of problem with expanding it to be automotive repair of all different kinds. Have you noticed any problem from your school? Have you noticed any problems with other kinds of automotive repair?
Well, suspension is covered by both mechanical and auto body repair shops, and that's about as far as we go. You know, I'm not a mechanic, and there's a definite line drawn between mechanics and auto body repair people. Generally, they don't even have interest in the other one's trade. But as far as things that overlap, I don't see any reason why. And we've seen some pretty bad jobs done on suspension, too. And I talked to one of my ex-students on the phone today that was having some troubles with the mechanical shop that he was working within the dealership with, wanting him to do some pretty unacceptable things to a line suspension component. And so as far as safety goes with suspension and brakes and structural parts of the car, I don't see why one would be any less important than the other.
Any further questions?
Madam Chair.
Representative Oakley.
Do all the community colleges offer these classes, such as the ones that you...
No. Teach? No, there's 5 in the state at the college level. They're few and far between within the high schools. Really, Benson is the only one in the Portland area, and beyond that, I don't know. We get people from a long ways away, as far as Burns, Oregon, just within the state itself. We've had people that drive daily from the coastal areas to get training. So, no, they aren't everywhere. But it's expensive to set one of those programs up, so I can understand it. Ours was set up about 1970, and it's been ongoing since. And, for the most part, probably all these people, whether they know it or not, have had employees through their facilities that have been trained by us initially.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Pat Brady.
Madam Chairman, representatives, I'm here today representing a group of the auto wreckers in regarding to Bill number 2297 and 2298. And some of the questions that they brought up were the questions of the 80% factor in the totaling of a car, in determining who. What is that 80% factor? 80% on a new vehicle valued at $40,000 versus an older vehicle of $5,000 is a big difference. And they're in support of both bills, yet they don't see it being a fair and equitable bill across the board to both auto body and to the auto wreckers. I was hoping to provide you with some pictures today of a truck that was a vehicle that was plain V6 engine work truck, totaled out by the insurance company with about $700, $800 worth of damage done to it. Where if that truck was the exact same Chevy Silverado Camper Special, that truck probably wouldn't have been totaled out. And the bill speaks of just a straight 80% value. And because the one was a plane truck versus the one that was a truck that was a camper special or with all the extras on it, the value would be so much higher. Basically, the damage would be the same. A fender, a bumper, a grill, you could put that truck back together and have a value of a difference of maybe $2,000 or $3,000. They also feel that Bill 2298 would also give more monies towards the auto body shops, which then in turn would cause a greater return to the consumer to pay. Based on the fact of the percentages that the insurance companies would total out the vehicles. Also, overseeing the bill and the cost, the numbers that we've heard here today say that there's 800 shops at a cost of $300 a shop. That roughly translate out to about $240,000. And based on the numbers that we saw earlier on the amendment, you're looking at $366,000. So it would need to go to Ways and Means to find out if the funds were there for these bills. The other question on Bill 2297 on line 18 through 21 speaks of if a car is totaled through theft, 30 days afterwards you need to turn the title over to the DMV. What happens if that car is found 90 days in Los Angeles? And I've turned in my title. How do I prove that's my car if I want that vehicle back? And the bill doesn't address that issue. The other question is on Bill 2297, page 3, line 28. It asks for damage. States damage. Question here is how much damage? If the car's damaged, it's supposed to be put on the DMV sticker or the title that it's damaged. It doesn't spell out really how much damage is they're talking there. Also on Bill 2298, page 3, line 38, it speaks that if the insurer says that the car is 80%, that it's a total vehicle, and that it needs to have total put on the vehicle. Well, I can give you a case in point of where that would be a judgment call on the auto body. I mean, if the insurance company says it's 80%, it should be total. The auto body shop may take that in. I have a truck that was hit in an accident, and the bumper was nicked, 4-inch nick in the side of the bumper. Well, the truck was hit when it was 6 months old, and it's still bright and shiny and new, so the repair bill to do the damage on the side and replace the bumper to bring it back to new was $850. But since it's a work truck and you don't have the bumper fixed, it's only $525. And I can see where this would get into a discretionary call between the insurance company and the auto people, to where they say it's going to be a work truck, it doesn't need a bumper. Most trucks come today without bumpers. That's an option now. So do I repair the bumper or don't I? If I don't repair the bumper, it's under the 80%. I don't have to report it then to the DMV as a total vehicle, is the way I read this bill right now. And what's also on that line, page 3, line 38, why the difference if the insurance company pays the bill? It says if the insurer pays the bill,
I'm sorry, Pat. Excuse me for interrupting. You're on 2298, page 3?
Yes. Is that the right number?
What line?
Line 38.
38? Is that correct? I left the bill back there.
Continue.
One of the suggestions from the auto wreckers that I'm representing is to make this bill equal, no matter who pays, the insurance company pays or whomever, because sometimes people will not have insurance on their vehicles. I mean, if the insurance company isn't paying it, make it equal for both sides. One of their number one suggestions was to make it, instead of an 80% set rule that it has to be 80%, is to make the vehicle decision on an equal basis from vehicle to vehicle. If the suspension's damaged, if the frame is damaged, then let the insurance company say the vehicle is a totaled vehicle. If you take a vehicle that's been rolled over and there's a lot of